Truth.
Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery here at republicbroadcasting.org. And it's another beautiful day here in Texas, and at least in the Seguin, San Antonio area. I suspect the same in Austin. And I kind of got a funny story to start off with. I thought it was funny anyway. I'm sure you will too. This found it on Lou Rockwell. It's was posted yesterday, and it's by Tom Woods, and it's talking about Woody Harrelson on Saturday Night Live the last weekend. And you know, I don't watch that. I imagine hardly any of our listeners watch that. But anyway, it's kind of a funny thing, and I'm going to read this little story here. It says, by now you may have heard about the opening monologue that actor Woody Harrelson delivered on Saturday Night Live this past weekend. Given the hysteria surrounding it, I assumed it had to be a full-throated attack on Big Pharma. So I watched it, and 95% of it was just normal comedy. I'm about to share with you the entirety of the portion that sent the establishment and those poor and pathetic souls who for some reason feel compelled to defend the establishment into a fit. Harrelson tells a fanciful story about reading a movie script. And here he's quoting Harrelson. Here it goes. Okay, so the movie goes like this. The biggest drug cartels in the world get together and buy up all the media and all the politicians and force all the people in the world to stay locked in their homes. And people can only come out if they take the cartel's drugs and keep taking them over and over. I threw the script away. I mean, who is going to believe that crazy idea? Being forced to do drugs, I do that voluntarily all day. So, anyway, I'm sorry I'm getting a phone call here, and it's kind of important. But anyway, I'll take it later. Well, that's it. And it says, it's obvious enough that the story is a reference to the COVID experience with the lockdowns and the mandates. But note that even... softens the blow. He even softens the blow by ending it with a joke about his drug habit. And it is funny. I think that's funny. He does it voluntarily every day. I thought that's a hoot. Well, here's I'm going to give you the four headlines that came out of this joke on Saturday Night Live. And here's the one from Rolling Stone. Woody Harrelson spreads anti-vax conspiracies during SNL monologue. I mean, really? The Rolling Stone, huh? Boy, really forward, avant-garde piece of caca, right? Okay, here's Huff Post. Woody Harrelson rambles about weed, anti-vax conspiracy in SNL monologue. Okay, The Daily Beast. Yeah, that's a great name for that one. Woody Harrelson spews anti-vax conspiracies in rambling SNL monologue. Rambling, like this thing went on for days. Like I said, I rambled, like it was two sentences. Okay, Woody Harrelson, here's Variety magazine. Woody Harrelson, Saturday Night Live monologue, makes COVID conspiracy jokes. I mean, these people got to get a grip. Are they not bought and paid for? Is this not just the, this is all the same ideology, this New World Order, Antichrist, mankind is insufficient, must be fixed by scientists program. Anyway, but I thought the joke was funny. I love it anyway. So now getting back to what I was going to, this kind of ties in because, quite frankly, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with, it just exactly that, a mass media cartel, combined with the drug cartel, and I mean, when I say that, I mean the pharmaceutical, we should call it the pharmaceutical cartel, combined with the media cartel and the banking cartel. So tell me that's not one hell of a stool with three legs. Pharmaceuticals, mass media, and banks. About the only thing you might want to throw in there, too, is the military cartel along with that. Boy, don't you have a really fine, fine program there. Well, this, and you know, we talked about on my show on Tuesday, and I had Mark on the show, we talked about the WHO. The World Health Organization, and their new treaty. They don't want to call it a treaty. They want to call it a convention, a convention agreement. I think that's called convention agreement plus, and it's revising all the health regulations, world health regulations. And trying to force nations to comply with all these things that they come up with. Well, you know, this is really an arm of the UN, and it just brought me, I just can't leave this idea, and I'm developing it, and I'm working on it right now, and I've actually done several drafts of a declaration of the observation of dissolution of the United States of America. And probably there are many other countries in the world that could use this identical document to do the same thing in theirs. And I want to start off by reading something to you out of John Locke. Let me tell you, if you don't read John Locke, you will never understand what government is, what it has authority to do, and what it can't do ever. And that's just, it's indispensable. If you think that you're going to come up, that you will ever see freedom and liberty again without knowing John Locke, you're mistaken. You just can't learn this stuff anywhere else. It's not out there. It's not available. They don't put this on TV. They don't put this on talk radio. They don't put this on Patriot Radio. It's indispensable. If you do not buy a copy of the Two Treatises of Government by Locke, you will be incapable of discerning anything really about government. Okay, I'm reading out of his last chapter of the book, in his second treatise called Dissolution, the Dissolution of Government. And it has a lot of sections in it. I'm just going to read section 219 and section 220. Here it goes, and you'll get the drift of how important this is immediately. There is one way more, whereby such a government may be dissolved. And that is when he who has the supreme executive power neglects and abandons that charge so that the laws already made can no longer be put in execution. This is demonstratively to reduce all to anarchy and so effectively to dissolve the government. For laws not being made for themselves, but to be by their execution the bonds of the society to keep every part of the body politic in its due place and function. When that totally ceases, the government visibly ceases, and the people become a confused multitude without order or connection. And actually, that's what we're seeing right now. What you're really seeing is confused, disconnected action by people. Now, where they're continuing on with the, I'm quoting from John Locke, section 219, where there is no longer the administration of justice for the securing of, well, now there's a typo, I don't know what that is, men's rights. For men's rights, nor any remaining power within the community to direct the force or provide for the necessities of the public, there certainly is no government left. Where the laws cannot be executed, it is all one as if there were no laws. And a government without laws is, I suppose, a mystery in politics, inconceivable to human capacity and inconsistent with human society. Okay. Now, what we see, what we look out here, we don't understand it. There's all kinds of action. There's action in the judiciary. There's action by the president. There's action by the legislature. But does any of it make sense? Is any of it following any real true doctrine? Is any of it doing anything? Or is it a jumbled mess? That's what we have, isn't it? And only evil and perverted things come out of it. Now, section 220 to continue. In these and like cases, when the government is dissolved, the people are at liberty to provide for themselves by erecting a new legislative differing from the other by the change of persons or form or both as they shall find it most for their safety and good. For the society can never, by fault of another, lose the native and original right it has to preserve itself, which can only be done by a settled legislative and a fair and impartial execution of the laws made by it. But the state of mankind is not so miserable that there are not that they are not capable of using this remedy till it be too late to look for any. To tell people they may provide for themselves by erecting a new legislative, when by oppression, artifice, or being delivered over to a foreign power, their old one is gone, is only to tell them they may expect relief when it is too late and the evil is past cure. This is, in effect, no more than to bid them first be slaves, then to take care of their liberty. And when their chains are on, tell them they may act like free men. This, if barely so, is rather mockery than relief. And men can never be secure from tyranny if there be no means to escape it till they are perfectly under it. And therefore it is that they have not only a right to get out of it, but to prevent it. End of quote. Now, that gives you the idea, doesn't it? I mean, this guy is a genius. We have authority right now to create new lawful government without asking leave of that which is there, that dissolved de facto tyrannical operation in Washington and in Austin, that has turning us over to a foreign power, global bankarchy, the New World Order, the UN, all of these things are unlawful to the bone marrow. And we're simply going to sit here like slabs of meat and let them put the chains on us? And so we have to comply with the World Health Organization or the United Nations and anything they come up with? We elected none of these people. And even the government we've created and elected, we did not allow them to delegate their authority that we gave them over to the UN. They cannot do that. The delegation of authority remains upon whom it is delegated by the people. It cannot be shifted off to somebody else. And that's what's happening. Those that were in our government while it existed have shifted off their authority to others. And that dissolves them. That is dissolution of government. There ain't no government in America. They have all done this, and they will not execute the laws. Now, it is time to declare the observation of the dissolution of the United States of America and the state of Texas, and to create a new state in conformity with the principles of property for the defense of the life, liberty, and possessions of every individual in the state of Texas. And likewise, in a federal government that does nothing but recognizes the independence and the republics that join it for the defense of those republics from all comers, from inside and outside, and to prevent organizations like the WHO and these organizations from imposing their will without authority, with force. Abject tyranny, that's what we're dealing with. And it's just because it's got a badge on or a robe on doesn't make it lawful. And it's time to begin to write this stuff down. And I've started, and I'm listing the means of dissolution, the various ones, and then quoting Locke from what he said about that. Because, you know, if you don't, people don't know what I'm talking about. I've been dealing with that for years. People don't know what we knew 400 years ago. The general population of America do not have the vocabulary or the knowledge to obtain liberty as their forefathers did. So it's... We have to, our documents that we produce to obtain liberty must be educational as well. You must be able to derive the basis of it from reading them. Anyway, stay with us and we'll be right back after this.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Getting a little energetic listening to that, and that's what we need. We need to smell it. We need to smell lawful government in the air coming your way. And it's not what we got. It's what we're going to have to create anew. Get that smell in your nose like, wow, we've never done that before. Wouldn't you like to set off on a journey and say, man, we have not done this before, but it's the right thing to do. And the doctrines and the strong political philosophy and the power of the founders is behind us to do it. The Lord's will is to do it. Man, I like that concept. Well, I understand Mark Anderson is with us, my partner in crime, as he sometimes says, or, our political leanings. So, Mark, how you doing?
Okay, I'm coming through on my phone with my ear earbuds. Am I okay?
Yeah, you sound great. Yeah.
Yeah, just a quick note. I can stay after the bottom of the hour if you want. All of a sudden, well, it seems suddenly, there's a fairly large plethora of articles telling us that ultimately there's not all that much to worry about with the World Pandemic Treaty. Yes, there's some problems with the IHR, the regs. Yes, there's problems with the World Health Organization. But the U.S. can sail into those choppy waters and maintain its sovereignty just fine. And this comes from several sources. A UK column shared some of these with me. One is Susan Guest, like guest of a party, spelled like guest. SusanGuest.substack.com. It's a column. And it goes into how the Vienna Conventions of 1969 have protocols that must be adhered to by all treaty authors, in other words, nations that enter into treaties. And it gives some assurances, you might say, that a country can get into or get out of a treaty. It can pull all the way out, or it can stay in the treaty with reservations. And it's saying that countries have all these options by which they can limit the damage of being in a treaty. And there seems to be an assumption that the World Pandemic Treaty would be the same as any other treaty in terms of the United States, for example, being able to enter into it and not lose its sovereignty. But what I think is missing here is that the COVID thing, the COVIDocracy that was imposed, was completely unprecedented. And this treaty, which they don't want to call a treaty, they want to call it an instrument, they want to call it an agreement. We talked about that the other day, Ron.
Yes.
And the World Health Organization, being part of the UN, which we also talked about on Tuesday, raises all sorts of other questions. In other words, a treaty with a UN body like the WHO, any treaty, is a problem.
Yes.
It could be about COVID. It could not be about COVID. And we talked about it Tuesday. The UN is a government. It's not another country. It's a government consisting of most of the countries of the world who had to relinquish at least a little bit of autonomy to even join this thing.
Well, you're right. And whether they say that sovereignty can be maintained or not has nothing to do with what they say about it. Because the reality is that no people in the United States of America delegated any of their authority to the UN. All of their authority was delegated to their representatives in their own government. And there is where it has to stay. It must stay there. The people did not allow them to transfer the delegated authority they delegated to their representatives out further out. They don't get to do that. So really, there should be no joining of such a body in the first place, because they have no authority and cannot get it.
Yeah, and it's not like it's members of Congress that go to the World Health body and help negotiate the treaty. It's somebody that Congress delegates, or it's somebody that the president delegates. It's very removed from our lawmaking process. And I know we're getting to the bottom of the hour. There's another matter or a related item on this same article I want to share, but we'll wait until after the station ID, and I'll hang just for a couple minutes. But what I'm saying is that all of a sudden the interference is coming out already.
Very good. All right. Well, hang with us, and we'll be right back and hear some more. And we got a couple of callers, too.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
I'll kind of jump through that a little bit. I like to listen to the music a little longer, but with all this going on today, I was going to speed it up a little bit. Okay, Mark, I want to hear more about what you were saying about trying to calm the people down about this this new pandemic treaty.
Yeah, I'm a little taken aback at how quickly it came, but okay, so we have this article that I just mentioned at that Substack website. Now, it says here that there's, you know, very little, if anything, to worry about. Countries such as the U.S. have all these options under this Vienna Convention that I mentioned. But look what it says in the same article. It refers to the International Health Regulation amendments that kind of form the brick and mortar of the pandemic treaty, as I mentioned on your show on Tuesday. Here's what it says. The amendments seek to impose strict timeframes for member states to respond to a notification from the WHO to a member country that there is or may be a health emergency within its borders, as well as to offers of assistance in assessing and containing that health risk. The amendments also, get this, the amendments also eliminate consultation with the states, that's the nation states, and permit the WHO to declare health emergencies without said consultation with the country who may be experiencing a health emergency. So in other words, a country is is said to be declaring a health emergency and experiencing it, and that country cannot consult with the WHO. The consultation of that country with the WHO is eliminated.
Yes. So, in other words, the World Health Organization will have the sole ability to declare a health emergency in any country of the world that's participating without their approval or not. Just declare it.
Let me read that. Right. Let me read that again. The amendments also eliminate consultation with the states and permit the WHO to declare health emergencies without the consultation with the country who may be experiencing a health emergency. Now, if that's not an elimination of sovereignty, I don't know what is.
Well, you are absolutely right, and under the Lockean principles of property here, it is the full and complete dissolution of that country's government and of the constitution among its people. It is dissolution, and the people at that time have a full right and authority to create new lawful government to the protection of their property.
Yeah, this article also goes on to say, and I'm sensitive to the fact that you have a couple callers, it goes on to make all these, like, admissions, and then it kind of pulls back, and then it admits this, and it pulls back. What I just read, they don't understand, number one, when it comes to the WHO being a part of the UN, and when the UN was created, a lot with U.S. involvement creating it, and the U.S. kind of led that and placed it in New York based on land that the Rockefellers donated. And, yes. And then, of course, it was donated by John D. Rockefeller III, who was heavily into population control ideologies and programs. They don't understand that the UN is not just another country or some subset of the UN like the WHO. It's not just another country with which you're making a treaty. It's a government consisting of most of the countries of the world who have pooled their sovereignty to be part of the WHO and in turn part of the UN. This is not just another treaty, okay?
That's right. That's entering, yeah, what you're saying is we've entered the United Nations as another state. We are a state like Texas is of the United States. The United States is a state of the UN, which is baloney. The people did not create that, and they have no authority to do that, and to do so is complete and full dissolution of the United States of America.
Yeah, the last thing I'll mention is then this article goes on to say, well, the U.S. just needs to get in there and make sure that it negotiates a good treaty. You see the problem?
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
no, the U.S. should not be involved at all. The only way to win is not to play.
That's right. This kind of talk they're doing, it reminds me of people that talk about the Second Amendment. They say, you know, well, you shouldn't have something called assault weapons, and you shouldn't have guns that shoot more than 10 rounds in it, and you shouldn't have a gun that has a scope on it. But we don't want to violate the Second Amendment. This is not about violating the Second Amendment. This is just telling you that all you can have is a slingshot. Well, I'm sorry, that the Second Amendment, it covers everything. If it could be used as a defensive weapon, it is covered by the Second Amendment, no matter what it is, how fast it shoots, or how big the round is.
The last thing I'll say here from this same article, and there's another video put out by this one woman. I should get her name. Let me see. Can I go back on that? Is that where that came from? Oh, shoot.
Anyway, I think we covered some good ground. Maybe we can take a caller. Pat from Texas, you're up now.
Hi. You do know that Ron Johnson, a Republican from Wisconsin, put a Senate bill in S number 444 to call it a treaty. Call the WHO a treaty, and not anything else.
Yes, call it a treaty, and the Senate has to vote on it, right?
Right, and they have to approve it by two-thirds majority, I think. And then people should go after some other senators that are kind of iffy, like Joe Manchin from West Virginia and Sinema from Arizona. They vote 38% of the time against Biden on critical issues. And this is a very critical issue. And if you went after the Democrats, we would really have a strong two-thirds majority, on our side.
Yeah, to prevent it. Well, what was the title of that? What was the number of the bill? You called it out.
Senate 444.
Senate Bill 444.
118th. Lately.
118
118. I think it's we're in the 118th Congress and
118th Congress. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, but it's Senate Bill 444.
Yes.
Okay. That's easy to remember.
See, all of them know that they got voted out. They know that they're in trouble. Okay.
Yeah.
When Nancy Pelosi had to give up head of it. I hate to tell you, Ron, but you've already been, somebody else has already rewritten the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution that came on this last weekend, and I think it was this weekend, March, well, anyway, 226, that's when it was. And they didn't even take any callers. And the guy's name is Jake Jackson and Don Wassall. And they got something called Freedom to, Project 2020. And I thought it was kind of funny because at the end he says, we're going to be called the sovereigns. I said, well, that'll get you arrested right away.
Well, I don't know what that is. I don't know any Declaration of Independence. That sounds like they don't know what they're doing.
Both of them.
What was their name again? I want to follow up on these guys. Dave Jackson?
Jake Jackson and Don Wassall. W-A-S-S-L-E.
Don Wassall.
Uh-huh. W-A-S-S-L-E. It was on Patricia Aiken's show, I think. 2/26/23. She has
that's the date. But where did you hear these? Where did you get this stuff?
RBN.
Where?
On RBN.
Oh, they're on RBN? Okay.
I'll tell you for the archive.
All right. Well, I'll check them out. Okay.
Another thing, too, is, I think I forgot what I was going to say.
You gave us some good information.
I won't tell you this. After the War of 1812, everybody got so patriotic that they started wanting to look at the Declaration of Independence, and it was already, being 40, 50 years old, it was already getting real kind of faded, and they couldn't. So this guy, he made a copper plate of the Declaration of Independence and put beeswax and stuff on it to protect it. And that's very interesting. I want to get rid of anything that we've had before because I have a copy somewhere of the new state's constitution that they intend to lay on the table the first time they get a constitutional convention. And there won't be no trial by jury at all. When they get through with this, Rod, you're going to wish you had the old constitution. You won't kick it to the street.
All right. Okay. Very good, Pat. Well, all right. Thanks again. Mike from Kentucky, you're up now.
Courts of the, for all intents and purposes, gotten rid of trial by jury is everywhere they can by doing things like summary judgments. And I forget who it was on RBN last week. They were talking about a case where the judge actually said, look, you've only got a 1 in 1,000 chance of winning. We're not going to go to a jury trial.
Yeah, basically, that's mine. That was my, I talked about that. That was James Fetzer's case.
Okay. Well, if you could, I'd like for you to try to go back to where you were reading, I think, from John Locke, and you thought it was a typo. And he said,
oh, yeah, like I think that was
men's rights.
Yes. Huh? Yes.
Men's rights. This
Correct.
Is a problem with the Internet, and it comes when you're studying the Bible or anything that goes back to old printed text. If it's not, if it's in italics, oftentimes that means it's Latin or
well,
it was
I happen
added.
To know the guy that put this online. I took it off of constitution.org. I actually have the book that book in front of me. If I wanted to go check it out and make sure what it is, I can do that. But
all right, well, how's it spelled? M-E-N-S-R-E-A?
It's no big deal. It's just, yeah, it's. I'll look it up. It's like I say, I think we can determine that it was men's rights. I mean, what are the camel's rights? Or
if it's mens rea in Latin, that means
No, there's no Latin in the... There's a section of Latin at the end, but not in this portion. This is all English. So, yeah, there's none of that.
Well, a lot of people don't realize when something's in Latin, it's kind of supposed to be in italics.
No, this is something that happens when you copy something and you convert it into HTML. Sometimes there'll be a glitch in it, and this was a glitch in transferring formats.
Sure,
and it had just some funky symbols in it.
I really have seen this be a problem though, because in computers you have something called forward error correction, and of course on phones you've seen that happen a lot where. The error correct will substitute words, and you can find some funny stuff going on there. But I think there's real value for going back to the original paper, hemp paper or whatever. And the Declaration of Independence, there was not just one copy. And it took a lot of some number of weeks, I think, for everybody to go sign that. John Hancock's name is so big because he was the first one that was stupid or brave enough to sign it. But they made a copy so that we could not be burned out in 1812. They had copies everywhere. Every now and then, rarely over my lifetime, there's been cases where a Declaration of Independence has been found hidden behind a painting. So they don't really know how many there was.
Well, it doesn't really matter much now because none of that stuff is worth. None of that is standing at the moment. So
I think those truths cannot be erased, though. They stand.
Well, that's true.
Stand,
we're gonna use all the truth.
No matter what constructive fraud you put on top of them, they still are true.
Oh yeah. Oh okay.
All right.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Okay. Well, I'm getting a notice from somebody. I don't know what this is. How that got in here. Anyway, go ahead, Mark. Can you add to the show at the moment?
I'm going to text you the press release on Senator Johnson's bill about the WHO treaty. It does not have a number yet. It's not Senate Bill 444. The copy of the legislation attached to his press release is not numbered yet. So I'll send the press release link, the direct link, to put with your show notes today.
Oh, super. That'd be very good, Mark. I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, and I'll put up some links first of all, I'm going to put up a link to John Locke's Second Treatise and to his chapter on dissolution at constitution.org. And so people can see what this is. This is going to be the result of all this. This is where they're pushing us. I don't think there's a... there's not going to be any options pretty soon. I mean, if you think the Republicans are going to stop tyranny, they haven't yet in 200 years, and it just keeps crawling and creeping, and it keeps coming. And the global bankarchy and the mass media cartel, they haven't slowed down one iota. And they don't know what sovereignty is from sovereignty isn't. They don't know what the Second Amendment is. They don't know anything. They just keep pushing for your rights, every bit of it. And until we get a system that says, no, you ain't doing that, and that can't be done, you're out, bye, well, then, you know, we're just going to keep putting up with it, more and more of it. Somewhere we have to come to grips with what the real law is, and it's not what we have now. So, anyway, hang with us. We got another break coming up, and we'll come back and get into this some more. Okay, for the wrap it up.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Yeah, I was just getting into that, Julie. Yeah, that sounds like the dawning of something. Anyway, okay. Well, Mark, you still with us?
Yeah, Ron. Like I say, I'll send that Senator Johnson press release to you. I will say that the press release is laudable in many ways. It does say this legislation would require any convention or agreement resulting from the work of the WHO and its intergovernmental negotiating body, it would require those things to be deemed a treaty requiring the advice and consent of a supermajority of the Senate. Of course, the Senate has to have a two-thirds supermajority to approve any treaty. The legislation comes as the WHO continues to move the pandemic treaty process forward, et cetera. But again, very laudable in many ways because you have to define it as a treaty to know what you're dealing with. But there's still kind of this unspoken premise that we have to look at this thing, okay, define it as a treaty, and then have the Senate look at it.
You know, Mark, let me ask you a question because this is popping into my mind more than once. You know, in my mind, treaties are very limited in what their purpose can even be. Treaties can't make laws. Treaties can't lead to the creations of other things. Treaties, I believe, must be limited to things like defense, a mutual defense compact, or some kind of a trade compact. But to say that it's going to deal with all kinds of issues all over everything, or any issue that you can think of that you can make a treaty on. I don't believe that that treaties ought to be open to everything that society can think of, or every problem that may occur in your own country.
Yeah, like here it also says the WHO. This is Senator Johnson speaking. The WHO, along with our federal agencies, failed miserably in their response to COVID-19. This failure should not be rewarded with a new international treaty. Now, I don't disagree with that, but the problem there is that it doesn't matter whether the WHO failed or didn't fail. We are going to doff our hat to that bunch of dimwits and halfwits and unelected bureaucrats that have been delegated there by their governments.
Right.
Especially
Mark. Yeah. That's it for today, and I thank you for coming on. Very good, and we'll see y'all next Tuesday. Y'all have a good weekend.
Thanks, Ron.
You bet.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros's role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and
stay strong, truth-tellers. Stay strong. Stay strong. And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me.
This feels like heaven. You're listening to RBN, In Defense of the Republic.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.